Praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to see all of your smiling faces. It's been a while since I've been up here. I've been a bit detained with daddy duty, but God is good anyhow. I definitely feel a heavy burden and a weight for this particular message. The Lord, I've been studying this text for about 3 months now. And the Lord gave me the message about 2 months ago as I was studying it. Some things started to come together. And I believe that this is the word for this hour. I was supposed to preach this over a month ago, and just something kept stopping me from doing it. But I believe the Lord had a reason as to why he wanted to wait for this particular moment. And I believe it is for you today. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 24. And we will be reading verses 20 through 25. Praise God. I believe that this is the word of the Lord for this hour. And as pastor has already stated, that open your hearts and be receptive. And I'm going to be honest with you, this is going to hurt you. This isn't one of those swinging from the chandelier messages. But I believe it's necessary for the church to move forward, for the body of Christ to move forward. When you get to 2 Samuel, say amen. Amen. 2 Samuel 24, verse 20 says, "And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. Now verse 24 is what I want to really focus on today. And the king said to Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel." I want to read verse 24 one more time to really emphasize the thought. "And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." I want to preach you a message simply entitled, "It Will Cost You." It will cost you. And that title may not have a lot of meaning to you yet, but by the end of this message, I hope it will. And I really want to enlist the aid of the Holy Spirit. I'm just a man. I can do nothing. I don't want to come before you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I believe someone's eternity is on the line today, and that someone needs to hear this word. But I need you to agree with me that the word would go forth with free course, uninhibited, and would touch lives. I want to see some lives changed. I'm tired of riding the merry-go-round of coming to church and leaving the same way. We need to see lives changed. Until people are being born again of the water and of spirit, then we are not going to truly see revival in this city. And it starts here in the house of God. So I ask you, I plead with you, I beseech you, prepare your hearts for this word. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for just this opportunity, God, to hear your word. And Father, I feel even now the weight and the burden, Lord Jesus, for the souls that are in this audience. Oh God, I pray, empower me. Enable me to preach your word with clarity, with power, oh God. Not with man's wisdom, oh God, but under the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Draw hearts unto repentance, for without repentance there could be no salvation, there could be no revival. Let conviction so grip this church that it would fall to its knees, hallelujah, pleading and begging for your mercy and for your love, oh God. Get us to a place where we, Lord Jesus, want you more than anything. Help us, oh God, to have, Lord Jesus, the type of spirit, the type of like-minded character, Lord, to lay everything on the line for your glory and for your kingdom. We bind every spirit that's unlike God and anything that, oh Lord Jesus, would try to thwart or uprule over, overturn what you want to accomplish in this place. We love you and we thank you and we bless you. And in Jesus' name, let the church, the living God, say amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about costs. And as our economy is recovering from this pandemic, we are seeing a change in the global market. We're seeing an increase in costs. So I want to talk to you about two particular types of costs. There are two things that will cost you a high price. One type can be avoided while the other is unavoidable. And one of the biggest mistakes people make in life is not knowing the difference between the two. For if you should mistake one for the other, it will cost you much more than if you discern the difference correctly. For example, have you ever been shopping and you bought something and then later on you found the same thing for a much cheaper price? You found something that was for a much cheaper price. That was a cost that you could have avoided had you perhaps expended more energy in researching and looking at other vendors and other manufacturers or stores. You could have avoided paying more than necessary cost for the item that you were trying to get. And the thing is this, that whenever we are dealing with costs that are avoidable, it's imperative that we discern whether or not it's avoidable. Otherwise, we will end up paying a much higher cost. Now, I'm going to give an analogy, I guess a parable that the Lord gave me. And for those of you that were in my marriage class, this is going to sound very familiar, but I believe it is the word for the church of this hour. For example, let's say that you arrive at an airport to catch a flight to multiple destinations, and some of which include foreign countries. You spent the previous night packing your luggage and getting everything ready for your journey. You locate the section of the airport with your airline. You approach the front desk to pick up your tickets, and the airline employee prints your tickets and asks if you have any baggage to check, if you want to check your baggage. And you gesture to multiple suitcases and multiple garment bags that you've brought with you. The airline employee then asks you if you are aware of the rules for checking your baggage. Whenever you're going on an airplane or even a train, you have to check your baggage in order for them to put it and carry it with you on the journey to the plane. But the airline employee then wants to inform you regarding some rules in regarding checking your baggage. Number one, that you can only have so many bags, typically one check bag and one carry-on. Otherwise, you'll be charged an additional fee for each extra bag that you carry. If you have more bags, more baggage than what is allotted for the flight, it's going to cost you extra money to bring that baggage on. Number two, that check bags must be under a certain weight. If it's too heavy or if it's too big, guess what? It's going to cost you. You have to pay more money in order to bring it on the flight. Number three, that there's also a size and weight limit for carry-on bags as well. This could also force you to check it, which means, guess what? You got to pay another cost. It's going to cost you even more for the flight. And number four, that bags, whether checked or carry-on, will be inspected or scanned prior to being allowed on a plane or TSA for security purposes. They want to make sure that anything that you're carrying is not a security risk, like you're a terrorist or something that could possibly cause issues with the plane. And it is the same spiritually. You have come to a place in your journey with God where God wants to check your baggage. You've come to a place where you can no longer progress any further and go on this plane to heaven unless God inspects your baggage. And there are things that you are carrying that are unnecessary that if you don't get rid of, it's going to cost you. That if you have too much baggage that's in your life, in your walk with God, and you don't allow God to deal with it, it's going to cost you a price to carry that load with you in your walk with God. There are certain things that are too heavy for you to carry that God does not want you to bring on this relationship, this journey that He has with you. And God is saying, let me check your baggage. Let's see what you're carrying, because it's a cost that you can avoid. But so many of us are holding on to disappointments, holding on to broken dreams, holding on to bitterness and hurts and painful experiences that we want to carry this with us in our walk with God. And God is saying, no, 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 no. You're going to have to pay a cost if you're going to bring this any further. It's going to cost you your marriage. It's going to cost you your job. And it could very well cost you your soul if you don't let God check your baggage. TSA has got to inspect your baggage to see if what you're carrying is a security risk. Right now in this church, there are terrorists in this church. You're carrying things that are explosive, that if it were to get loose, it could cause destruction in the lives of everyone around you. And the Holy Spirit right now, TSA is sweeping across this audience and is seeing the security risks that are in your heart that could kill somebody, destroy somebody, hurt somebody, offend somebody, drive somebody from the body of Christ. And God is saying that you can no longer go any further living your life the same way as usual, as if that this baggage is normal, this dysfunction is normal. God is saying, let me check your baggage. Because if you don't, it will cost you. It will cost you. This is an avoidable cost. This is something that you can avoid having to pay for. This thing could cost you dearly, but if you don't deal with it and allow God to handle the situation, it's going to cost you. The cost is avoidable. Isaiah 53:4 says, surely he hath carried our griefs. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. That Jesus wants to carry these things away from you. That if you don't have enough money to pay for this cost, guess what? You're not going on the plane. Or you're just going to have to leave it there. It's one of those two things. Is this thing worth your salvation that you won't allow God to take care of it? It's going to cost you. Matthew 16:25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You do not have to go to hell. You do not have to suffer eternal damnation. You do not have to pay this cost of depression that you're carrying if you allow Jesus to take care of it and remove it out of the way. There are avoidable costs. Then on the other hand, there are unavoidable costs. For example, have you ever purchased something that was cheap? You try to make it like get a deal? You know, you got the Air Gordons instead of the Air Jordans. Back in the day, you used to sell those cheap Rolex watches, you know. You tried to be cheap with it, but it has very poor quality. So guess what happens to it? It breaks, and you have to replace it, which means you got to pay more money. It's an unavoidable cost. If you would just pay the right money for the value item, the quality item, you could have avoided other costs that are involved. I tried to do this myself. There was a keyboard I was trying to purchase. I saw online. And this keyboard cost $2,000 retail. I saw it for $700 online. I thought, oh man, I can get it. And now this guy basically was scamming me. I ended up paying $1,000, and I still don't have a keyboard. Had I just gone to a retailer and just paid the proper costs, I would have a keyboard right now. But now if I want to get it, I'm paying an extra $1,000 for the same item because I tried to avoid the cost and I was stupid and didn't listen to my wife. Just being honest. There are some costs that are unavoidable, and if you would just pay the value of what it is, you could avoid excessive costs that are there. People try to avoid the inevitable costs, and they are doomed to disappointment and self-destruction, and you will always end up paying much higher cost than they should have because they don't do things right the first time. Had I just done it right the first time, I'd have saved myself $1,000. $1,000 would have saved myself. I'm still mad about it, you can tell. Lost $1,000 because this dude scammed me. Had I just done it the right way, had I just gone to the authorized retailer, you're trying to get stuff on the cheap from unauthorized vendors. And then you wonder why your heart is broken and disappointed because you got the Air Gordons. You got the cheap kind. You got the generic brand. You didn't get the real one from Jesus. And because of that, now you're having to pay more costs. There's no one that understood this principle about costs than David. Throughout the narrative of David's life, we see examples of where he attempted to avoid an unavoidable cost, and it ended up costing him much more. When David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem, he did not follow the Levitical laws and did things cheaply. And because of that, a man died and he was delayed 3 months. Then also, he tried with the issue of Bathsheba. He tried to get the marital benefits without paying the cost of a marriage. Tried to do things cheaply. A shallow experience of pleasure. But that one experience cost him 4 children and thousands of Israelites in a civil war. It cost him his son Amnon. who was murdered by his son Absalom because Amnon raped his daughter Tamar. And then Absalom was killed by David's nephew Joab because he started a civil war. It cost him his four children and thousands of lives because he tried to be cheap. When you try to avoid an unavoidable cost, you will always pay more than what is actually valued. Now this brings us to our main text. David has decided to do a military census by numbering the people of Israel. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Satan will always do his best. He will always do his best to deceive you in thinking you're getting a deal. This is the latest edition. I got a deal on it. My boy Enrique, he hooked me up. He got the hookup right here. Right? You always got a guy or someone who's got the hookup. They'll get you cheap. Satan always makes it look like it's not going to cost you that much. When there's always hidden fees and there's always a catch with the decision that you're making. If we could fully see the cost of the choices that we're making, we might reevaluate those choices. And Satan, he will always get you to see your sin, this decision, this choice, as not costing you that much. That sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will make you go further than you want to go, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. Verse 2. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it. And Joab answered the Lord, make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will it be a cause of trespass to Israel? Now this is very interesting, that David's request, it shot up a red flag in Joab's mind. He knew that this was sinful. But what's bizarre is taking a census is allowed in the book of the law. It's allowed in the Torah. We see in Numbers chapter 1, verse 2, it says that God was telling Moses. He says, take ye the sum of the congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers with the number of their names, every male by their polls from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aaron shall number them by names. It was allowed in the book of the law to number the children of Israel. So then what on earth, why was Joab's just knowing just the request of itself was bad or sinful? That's the mystery we're going to try and solve today. I'm going to give you three possible reasons as to why this was a bad idea. And Joseph, this is a bad idea. You're going to cause all sorts of trouble. This is sinful. This is wicked. Number one possible reason as to why this request was bad was because of pride. David wanted to basically congratulate himself by looking at how powerful his army was. In verse 3 of 2 Samuel 24, and Joab said to the king, now the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever they be in 100-fold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? You're taking delight, pride, in this numbering of Israel to see how big your kingdom is. Number two, possible reason, that David asked Joab to number the Levites in a military census, which was a big no-no. The Levites were not supposed to be involved in the military. We see in 1 Chronicles 21:6, Chronicles, account of this same story, that it says Joab, tells Joab's reaction to him being told to go number Israel. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. So that David was asking to have God's people do something that they were not ordained or authorized to do. That was number two. David commanded Joab to include the Levites in the military census, which is a direct violation of the Torah. The Levites had to be numbered separately outside of this particular military sentence or census. And Joab and his captains were trying to convince David, said, don't do it. This is a bad idea. This is sinful. Don't do this. You're going to break the Torah. You're going to break the laws of God. 2 Samuel 24, verse 4. Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host. Have you ever gone to make a decision? Everyone's telling you it's a bad idea, and you just don't listen to it because you want it. You want it so bad that you'll do anything. You'll plot and you'll scheme to get it, even though everyone's telling you don't do it. David did it anyway. And Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. Now, what's interesting is David came to his senses, but a little bit too late. When David realized he had sinned, he began to really hate himself. In verse 10 of 2 Samuel 24:10, it says, "And David's heart smote him. After that, he had numbered the people, and David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." He realized he'd made a mistake. He was successful. I could camp on that just for a minute. One of the most dangerous things is to be successful at something that's wrong. It's dangerous to be successful at the wrong thing. He was successful in taking his senses, but it was the wrong thing. And because it was the wrong thing, it cost him everything. And because of this mistake, 70,000 people died because of this mistake. 70,000. 70,000 people lost their lives because of David's mistake. 2 Samuel 24, verse 15. "So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba, 70,000 men." Now, here's the question we should ask ourselves. What on earth, why on earth would God give such a punishment for something that seems so simple, just counting people? It seems kind of ridiculous. Well, to find that answer, I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 30, verse 11. I'm going somewhere with this. Bear with me. Exodus chapter 30, verse 11. The reason why the punishment was so high, and this is the third reason why I believe, why Joab knew that this was a bad idea. Because when you take a military census, anyone that's included in the census has to pay a cost to be a part of that census. Look what it says here in Exodus 30, verse 11. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no," notices, "that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give, everyone that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel, and after the shekel of the sanctuary, a shekel is 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord." And this was not just any ordinary offering. It says explicitly that this offering was an atonement for your soul. This was a ransom. This was a payment for your soul. Why? Because this particular census was supposed to be done on the Day of Atonement. It was not just any type of just a fee or whatever. This was for your soul. It was a price to be included in the membership of Israel. During the census, now here's the thing. There's two things that could have happened during this. Two possibilities. During the census, the children of Israel did not pay the census price, which acted as a means of atonement for their souls. That's one. Or that Joab did not collect the money. I'm tending to lean more towards the second. Because notice this. When Joab asked the question, he says, "David, don't be a cause of trespass to Israel. Don't cause Israel to sin." Which means that Israel had to make a choice in some juncture. Meaning that when the census was given and they said, "You're going to have to pay a fee to be included amongst the citizenship of Israel." They said, "I don't want to pay that cost." They thought it was an avoidable cost, but it was an unavoidable cost. And because they didn't pay the cost, they paid with their lives, and 70,000 people died. It costs you something to be part of the body of Christ. You may lose some family members. You may lose some friends. You may lose your job. You may lose some relationships. But it's going to cost you to be counted as a soldier of the Most High God. And you've got to be willing to pay the cost. Exodus 30, verse 15. Notice this. "The rich shall not give more, And the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Joab knew that Israel was a bunch of cheapskates. And they wouldn't necessarily want to pay the fee. And we got a lot of people in the body of Christ that are unwilling to pay the fee, unwilling to spend the time in prayer, unwilling to spend the time in the word, unwilling to fast, unwilling to sacrifice their time or their resources for the kingdom of God. And because of that, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you a high price. I want to go now to the main text here, the verse that we started off with, all that which is context. David is despondent. He is terrified because he can literally see his own citizens dying. He can see the angel of death with his sword stretched over Israel as people are dying in this plague. God then instructs the prophet Gad to tell David what to do to stop this plague. He tells them that there must be a cost that's paid. There has to be a sacrifice. And the angel tells Gad, and Gad tells David, and Gad tells David that you need to go to Araunah, the Jebusite, and you need to offer a sacrifice, a payment there, and then the plague will be stayed. And this is where we find ourselves in our main text, 2 Samuel 24, verse 20. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servants? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. Now I want you to notice something here, that God has told David that I want you to pay a cost for the mistake that you made and causing my people to sin. And when he comes to the threshing floor of Araunah, Araunah says, I'll give you everything that you need to pay the cost. I've got the bull and the oxen. I've got the threshing floor instruments. I give you the land. Take it freely. Now I want you to understand something here, that Araunah's name has prophetic significance. His name means a shout of joy or a joyful cry. Joy will make you give in ways that you don't want to give. Joy has the capacity to make you give and sacrifice. The thing is, though, a joyful sacrifice is easy because it doesn't cost you anything. It's easy to praise God when God paid your bills and you didn't think you were going to get it paid. It's easy to praise God and give a sacrifice of praise when you got a raise or when you get healed from cancer, when God does something good for you. It's out of your joy. It doesn't cost you anything to give God that. So it's easy. And joy was trying to tell David, David, I'll provide you everything you need to sacrifice this thing. The Bible says in Psalm 27, verse 6, and David is the one who wrote this, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And we look at verse that says, God loves a cheerful giver. And God, we can give out of your joy and out of your excess. Yes, but that is not enough to pay for the cost. That will not be able to stop and pay the debt that is owed. You cannot give out of your joy, out of your ease, out of your excess. It's easy to pay God when he has delivered or blessed you. It's easy, as I said before, because it doesn't cost you anything. You haven't had to pay for what you need. But real sacrifice will cost you a high price. And David understood this. 2 Samuel 24, 24. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Now let me get something clear to you today. That if you're able to smile and laugh during your sacrifice, then it ain't a real sacrifice. Because a real sacrifice is going to cost you. If you can come down this altar and be smiling and laughing and giggling and lead the same way, it didn't cost you anything. You're just wasting God's time. And God is like, I'm not going to accept that mess. You don't value the very thing that you're offering me, so why should I value it? It's going to cost you. Real sacrifice will cost you so much that it will bring you to a place of brokenness. David also said this, Psalm 51, verse 16, for thou delightest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise brokenness. You cannot sacrifice out of your excess, out of your joy, out of your dance. You can't shout your way out of this. You're not going to praise your way out of this. I know we say praise is what I do, and praise will get you through anything. You cannot praise your way out of your sin. The only way you can get out of your sin is through repentance. Through a changed lifestyle. It's going to cost you. Again, if you're smiling while you're sacrificing, then you ain't sacrificing. That don't mean it didn't cost you anything. When Abraham took Isaac up to the altar, do you think he was smiling as he was about to stab his only son? Or do you think he was grieving as his heart was being ripped from his chest, knowing that he was going to have to kill his own son, holding a dagger right up to give the death blow? You think he was smiling and laughing and giggling, oh, praise God, I'm going to murder my son? No. When it costs you, there's going to be brokenness. There's going to be tears, and there's going to be change. James 4:8, this is what the Lord is saying to you right now. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Too many of us have been coming to the altar giggling and laughing. Too many of us have been offering things to God without really any cost. It's like you get a Pez dispenser for Christmas. Didn't cost you anything. You don't value it, and the other person doesn't value it either. And God is looking for you to pay the cost. It's going to cost you. It is an unavoidable cost. The cost of complete devotion. Of complete submission unto God. If you try to avoid that, you'll end up paying a higher cost. Mainly your soul. Are you willing to sacrifice your soul for your sin? For your dream? For your pleasure? For your desire? For this relationship? For this promotion, for the status, for the acclaim, for the adoration, for the stroking of your ego? Are you willing to pay that for your soul? It will cost you. Cost, and I'm wrapping this up, cost is determined by the value. The value that an object that's placed on an object being purchased. How much we value something determines the cost. When God looked at you, there was a very high cost that was there. And the cost was high because of the value that he places on you. If something is not valued, no one will pay for it. No one is willing to pay money or sacrifice to get it if it doesn't have value. Think of it. Think of this, that the God of the universe looked at a sin-infested wretch like us and saw value. And said, I am willing to pay the cost. Now remember I said, when it's a real sacrifice, there's no laughing and giggling. There's no joy that's there. There's a reason why Jesus was called a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was under so much duress and so much grief that the Bible said he sweat blood. Because this was going to cost him something. This was going to cost him not just his life, but for the holiness of God to be infected with sin, to bear sin for the first time. That is what caused Christ to shout on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was not the 9-inch nails that impaled his hands or his feet. It was not the cat of nine tails that whipped his back and ripped sinew and flesh and muscle from his flesh, from his body. It wasn't having to carry his own form of execution down the streets of Jerusalem as he's being spit on and pelted with stones. It was not the crown of thorns that was thrust into his skull that was causing so much duress, or the mockings that he endured, or his own body with asphyxiating himself as he hung suspended between heaven and earth on the cross. It was our sin. It was our wickedness, our pain, that he experienced complete isolation on that cross. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Are you willing to pay the cost? The cost of being a Christian. The cost of maybe letting go of certain relationships, certain habits, certain hobbies. The cost of letting go of your past, past experiences, past traumas, past hurts. Are you willing? Because if you don't, you're going to pay a much heavier cost. Carrying this with you is costing you your salvation. It's costing you your peace of mind. It's costing your family. It's costing your finances. It's like a cancer siphoning out any good that's in your life. You've got to let it go and be willing to pay the cost. This is the last verse I will give. Luke 14, verse 26. If any man come to me, this is Jesus speaking to, now you want to talk about an altar call. I'm trying to persuade you to come and be a follower of me. Look what Jesus says. If any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, we don't hear that preached. Oh, just come to Jesus. He loves you. And just you just believe on Jesus. Just confess Jesus and everything's all right. And peaches and cream. Preachers don't talk about the cost anymore. This is going to cost you. I'm not going to sit up here and lie to you. This is going to cost you something. And it may mean some sleepless nights and some tears. But it's going to be worth it. Look what he says here. Verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me and cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether we have sufficient to finish it? Do you have the endurance? Do you have the will of character, the will of mind to commit yourself fully to Jesus? To submit and surrender your whole being to him? To finally fully put away sin, to turn away from the sin and from the things that you think are so valuable, and really they're nothing. They're nothing. This is going to cost you. You know what's very interesting in this story? What happened when David paid the cost? I said that was my last verse. I got one more. Look at the 1 Chronicles 21, verse 26. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. God answered by fire. Now there's so much to this text I can't even do it justice. This event happened during Pentecost. And it was when David, God's beloved, that's what David means, finally paid the cost and sacrifice that the fire came down. When you finally are willing to sacrifice everything to God, God will answer you by fire. And the plague of sin that has, by the way, 100% mortality rate will be stopped. But you got to be willing to pay the cost. Let's stand. I told you this wasn't a shouting message. And we don't want to hear this. Anything that challenges us to change our lives is something we don't want to hear. People don't want to change. People only change unless they absolutely have to. You won't fix that car until you absolutely have to fix it. You'll lay in bed till your bladder's about to burst. Okay, fine, I'll get out of the bed, finally. We are so lazy. We won't do anything unless we absolutely have to do it. And I'm telling you right now, you absolutely have to do it. You have to pay the cost. You've got to let this thing go. Let go of your unforgiveness. Let go of your bitterness. Let go of your past. Let go of whatever it is that you're putting before God. You've got to let it go. And you've got to come down this altar, not with laughs and giggles and, oh, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, and all that. No, with some serious business. I'm repenting. When I leave this altar, I'm putting the bottle down, putting the weed down, leaving this relationship alone, turning this TV show off. I'm leaving everything behind that is a detriment to my walk with God. I'm leaving here changed. And that's hard. I know it's hard. If Christianity was easy, everybody would be saved. This place would be packed out if it was easy. If it was the newest trend on TikTok or something. But it isn't. It's going to cost you. Are you willing to pay the cost? Or are you going to find out when it's too late that you're going to have to pay a much higher cost? The choice is yours. I open these altars unto you today to give you an opportunity to pay the cost, to pay the fee, to pay the whatever it is that you're holding on to that you think you got to have. It's baggage that God does not want you to carry anymore. You could avoid this cost if you would just give it to God, and you could avoid hell and damnation. You could avoid judgment if you would just give it to God. You've got to pay, however, the cost of dedication and submission and holiness unto God. When you do that, that is when change happens. That's when God answers by fire. I want the whole church, I want us all to repent. Because I know there's things that we're holding on to. There's baggage. We've all got baggage, myself included. We've all got things that we're carrying that God does not want you to carry anymore. And we've all tried our schemes to avoid the cost of really living a life of holiness and selflessness to God, and it's costing us more. God is now asking, come and pay the cost. Give me your heart. It's not your money I'm after. It's not your favorite TV show I'm after. It's your heart. Because your heart is tied to these things, I have to ask you to give me that stuff in order for me to get your heart. God wants you. God wants you to give your heart to Him. God wants you to give His heart, your heart to Him. But you've got to be willing to pay the cost. Right now, all over this place, I want to lead us in a prayer of repentance. And I want to come and pray with you. I can't pay this cost for you. I can't go to heaven on my parents' coattails. I've got to make a decision. There was an old song that we used to sing that I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I feel the Holy Ghost in that. No turning back. I'm going to commit myself to Him right now all over this place. Let's begin to repent and say, God, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of trying to get the bootleg version of salvation. I'm tired of trying to be cheap. I'm tired of living my life this way. God, I'm willing now to pay the cost because you were willing to pay the cost for me to be saved. So now I will pay the cost. I will let go of my sin. I will let go of my habits. I'll let go of my hobbies. I'll let go of my disappointments, my hurts, my pains. I'll let go of all of that. I'm willing to give it up to you now. I'm willing to give up my relationships if necessary, but I want to make it to heaven. I want to be like you. All over this congregation, let's repent. Let's turn to God. God, I need you. I need you. I see the cost that this has cost. My decision is making. People are being hurt and people are being broken because of my mistake. God, give me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Father, I'm willing to pay right now, all over this congregation. Let's give our hearts to Jesus. Thank you, Lord Father. Forgive us of our trespasses. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of trying to avoid this cost, a cost of true repentance, a cost of true conviction, a cost of a true changed heart. Father, we turn our hearts to you. We have made a decision. God, I've decided I'm going to follow you. And I'm not going to turn back. I forsake my sin. I abandon it. I despise it. And I embrace the cross. I embrace you. I embrace salvation to you. In the name of Jesus. Right here, right now. Hallelujah. I'm willing to pay the cost. I'm willing to pay the cost. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. All over this country.